growth of the earth.
So it's going on a pasuk in Tehillim, and the pasuk is it's a combination of two things. Zocha chasev nesuvei Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu remembered his chesed and his emunat Klal Yisrael. But together with that, it says ruach kol afteiros is Yeshua Solekeinu. From all corners of the earth, they saw the Yeshua of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So there's a combination here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows chesed and keeps his bris to Klal Yisrael, and it's something that became spread out to Musaylam. So Chazal say, so Rabbi Yechon says, Eimasai roh kol afsir atzuchulu, v'mor chavesta, this is v'mor chavesta. Upirish tov azeh, ke ha-megila azo is meire ala Yeshua meforsemes, she'osa asem Hashem Yisparach. This, the Megillah talks about a very meforsem dika, chesed and so on. Even though we always speak about the Megillah being behester in terms of the quality of the events, in terms of what was going on there, but in terms of how far it spread, that was very far-reaching. Why? So even Klal Yisrael was even at Yisrael. The many nisim in Tanakh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu helping Klal Yisrael were all part of this is Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, or the previous cases, I guess, with the Mitzrayim and everything. There was one locus, there was one point that it was all happening on. So those nisim happened in very specific places, and it didn't dissipate so readily.
When
he was gazed to Lashon HaSod, he kaisa ze b'chol aretz. It went out in the whole world. So the whole world became aware of the fact that Klal Yisrael was in danger. They all knew that there was, they were given free license to kill. And they all knew that the tables had turned. Let's talk a little bit about this. And he has one more nekuda, which we'll see in a second. If we go back the way that the Kadmonim explain the matar of the Bria. So the matar of the Bria is to bring about a tikkun of the world. Being that the world collapsed and things were not going well, the only way HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do that is by choosing a particular nation, perfecting them or bringing them to perfection, and that would influence everybody else. So Klal Yisrael has in itself two missions. One is Mitzad Atzma, and one is Mitzad It's hashpa on others. Both of them are included in its mission. The focus of our avoda is only on ourselves. There is no inyan or mitzvah. It's contrary to it to go out and to be mashpi on Mosolam. But if we perfect ourselves, we are mashpi on the Mosolam. When he speaks about he speaks about a person's personal perfection, and then he says, and if the person perfects himself, he brings everything that's come in contact with him, he brings to Shleimus. That's the way he describes that mission and so on. We will understand that to that Nekuda particularly is the Snagdus of Amalek. It says Rav Huttner has a whole piece, Peter twice, about a phenomena called Tidal Melech Goyim. If you take a look in the parasha of the Dalet Melachim, so it says that there were Avraham Avinu fought with the Hay Melachim, Kineged Dalet Melachim. The Dalet Melachim were very, very powerful Melachim, and he fought. And he took the side of the Hay Melachim, and it goes through all the different Melachim. So it has four Melachim, which Chazal, the Medrash says, is Keneged the Dalet Malchias, and you have Amrofel Melech Shinner, Ariach Melech Alosek, Zayim Melech Elam, Vesidol Melech Goyim. So the last one is called Melech Goyim. Sidol is called Melech Goyim. And it's hard to understand why is it called Melech Goyim. Rashi says over here, I mean, he doesn't have any specific designation. Uma Mokum Yesh Hashmoy Goyim Al Shem Sheniskapsa Shem Mikama Goyim Mekoyim Zicha Yishalem Hashmoy Tidal. It was a place where many umos got together. This was like a kind of UN of sorts, and he was the Melech of the UN, a Rosh, of course. The opposite, Chazal say in the Medrash that Shesholach Trunya Legoyim or Lomas Olam, I don't remember exact lashon, that it was called Tidal Melech Goyim. He was a king who agitated and incited the Goyim to fight against Klal Yisrael. So Malchus Edom and Amalek, as the spitz of Edom, had in themselves two tchunis. They were a nation, a particular nation, which is a very specific ummah and has in itself its own tchunis. But it's known for being inciting other ummahs against Klal Yisrael. And Rav Hutner draws the line that the first place where that Malchus incited another Malchus, as opposed to when Amalek came against Klal Yisrael in Rephidim, which was the Ummah of Amalek against the Ummah of Yisrael, and later on in the Tekufa of David and Shaul, but specifically as an instigator and a provocateur between other Ummos, that was at the May Achashverosh. It was Haman sitting inside the Malchus of Paras, inciting Achashverosh against them, and getting all the 127 umos that comprised the greater Persian Malchus to go out and to kill Klal Yisrael. So the first appearance as a Malek, as Tidal Malek Goyim, we understand it as a Zel Umaseh of Klal Yisrael's mission. Klal Yisrael's mission is to perfect themselves and to be mashpia on all the Masolam, and Amalek is the opposite. It's the same thing when Amalek came against Klal Yisrael. It gave a mashal like when somebody jumps into a hot bath and he gets burned, but it cools it off everybody else, and everybody else says it's not so bad. So when you have an enemy that's invincible and somebody goes and fights, so even if he gets a bloody nose, but other people are not so scared anymore. So that was why Amalek's going to fight with Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. They didn't harbor any illusions of their own victory, but they were there to pave the way out for the other Goyim. In other words, the Zelumas, Klal Yisrael has the Keser of Malchus of all on all other Umos. Av Hamoin Goyim. It says there's a Lashon Chazal, Klal Yisrael went into Golus only to bring back Geirim. And now, just in general, when you find Chazal like that, there are many Chazal, and Chazal give many reasons. But one of the Mataris of Klal Yisrael going into Golus is that they come into contact with many, many other Umos and they're able to be Mashpia. So Klal Yisrael sees its Matara as being, as imposing its Malchus on Umos Olam. That's through a b'china of Malchus Evaratzim Kibbalah, but that's what they're doing. They're projecting the Emes of Torah and Umos Olam attracted to it. Amalek, who stands Zel Umos Zeh in Klal Yisrael, is coming to break that, and Adarabba, to incite the other Ummas against Klal Yisrael so that they're not Mushpa, and Amalek has the Keser of Tidal Melech Goyim. He has the Keser of Malchus and the other Ummas. The Maral brings, and some of the prints, they have it, he brings a Chazal that Amalek was Metame Klal Yisrael to Mishkav Zohar, so he explains that, in other words, all the other Ummas are a B'china of Nekevis. They are an extension of somebody else's hanhaga. Masha'ein Kain Amalek is the only one that actually rivals with Klal Yisrael over whose vision should be ke'ilu the dominating vision. Whose metzias is the metzias that's leading the world? So Haman's asiya and Amalek's asiya was to make the truma the trunya with the other umos olam, and therefore they would now go and go against Klal Yisrael. What happened is v'nafahu, when it flipped around, all the umos olam saw Yeshua as Hashem. So what happened was, it was a type of nes that gained more exposure than it would have been otherwise if it were in its own place. So this is the first time, this is Klal Yisrael, this is the nes that Klal Yisrael found amongst umos olam, and therefore there was a hashpa on umos olam from it. That's why at the end of Megillah you have v'harvi mama eretz misyadim k'nacho pach v'yudim aleihem. There was the first time, maybe the only time mentioned in Kisa Kodesh, there's one other place, but where a specific umu was misgaya, but the fact that many nations from many different walks of life found an interest in Yiddishkeit was because of this, of the way the nes was set up, that Klal Yisrael was mashpia, Klal Yisrael was beina umos. These gezeiras specifically came from all the umos, and when the Yeshua came, it was mashpia on all the umos. Then he has a second nekuda to this inyan. V'oid yadu adav hazeh b'chachma ki reishis goyim ha-molik v'kasha hoishim Hashem Yisparach me'homon shuhu mizera ha-molik kilu hoishia oisa mikol ha-umos v'lekach ro kol afsi ha-tzi Yeshua Hashem ha-keinu koyed adav hazeh. So he adds a second nekuda that which is a sort of deeper havana in this inyan. Whenever something is termed as rachis, let's give the example words give. If you have a seed and a seed grows into a tree, and the tree has the trunk and the branches and the leaves and the fruits and all the different parts of the tree. So at the level of where it's already manifest, then all of these are different parts of the tree. And each one is separate. And each one has its own properties. The fruit might be edible. The trunk may be not edible. And so on. But each one does not necessarily have to have a chelik of the other. The trunk has certain strength through it, the fruit has certain strength through it, the flower has certain strength through it, etc. But when you touch the seed, since the seed is the rachis, it includes all the elements that's in it. The seed has in itself a nekuda of fruit, a nekuda of trunk, a nekuda of root. It all has to be there because it's in the rachis. In other words, the term rachis defines something which is all-inclusive. It's something that includes everything. It includes everything that is of the same system. It couldn't be a rachis to something if it's not part of that same system. An apple seed can't be a rachis to a pear tree because there's no pears that will ever grow from the apple seed. The umos ha'olam, in as much as each one is a distinct entity, it's a distinct entity, and one has no real shaykhus to the other. Amalek is called rachis, so that means Amalek contains in itself all the nekudas of future of all the umos, because it couldn't be a rachis to those umos. It could not have bred those umos if it wouldn't be there. So when Amalek came against Klal Yisrael, there's a certain power that it has in the fact that it encompasses all the umos. It's in its pchinas reishis goyim, it includes all the umos. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves Klal Yisrael, it saves Klal Yisrael from a type of matzev which is the entirety of the umos. So that's that. This definition of pasuk is not that the other umas ha'olam saw it. Amos ha'ro kol afsa aretz is included in Amalek as well. Amalek has in itself the metzias that is like Klal Yisrael, and therefore when they say it, it's like say for many umas. I guess let's try to take this inyan over a little bit to things that are geared to us. These are whenever Klal Yisrael through the Deiris has been in Tzaris countless of times. Our whole history is a history of Tzaris. There's a book, a history book we have. We have in the library, we have a photocopy that I made. It's three thick volumes called Sefer HaTemo'os, and it's just a list of it's about 1,000 pages, of all of the known gzeiros and killings and lynchings and inquisitions and whatever else we've had throughout the days. So we're not strangers to Tzaris. But you can divide particular tzaras, particular umos. We were in France, and the French threw us out. The megzeres on us. We were in England, and the French threw us out. The megzeres, so on. Those are particular events, and they come within the scope of some particular inyan. Sometimes we know, sometimes we don't know. Most of the time we don't know, but at least we look at it as a particular. There are sweeping events that are global. The Christian church versus Klal Yisrael, the Muslim world versus Klal Yisrael, Germany versus Klal Yisrael, in the sense that it was a world power that seemed to be between the powers of the axis, it seemed to encircle the globe, are different types of Muhammad with Klal Yisrael. The general sweep of Western culture versus Yiddishkeit. Anytime we're dealing with something much bigger than a particular event, its significance is much bigger. And on the one hand, it's a very tough nut to crack. In other words, I don't mind particularly having a problem in one medina where their minhag is to do X and I do Y. But when I perceive something as being true of Western society and I'm different, it makes it very hard. Because when I'm dealing with something that I sense is universal, it's very tough to be different and so on. Me'idach gisa, whenever we have those nisyonos and we face up to them, the hashpah is extremely, it's worldwide. And Klal Yisrael has as its mission to be mashpiah on the world. The only difference between us and the people that misuse the Tikkun Olam slogan, which has become the most meaningless slogan, by people whose Yiddishkeit is meaningless almost. We understand that Tikkun Olam is the Tachlis HaBriyah. That's what we was bowled for Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. The understanding is that when a person is metakin himself, since we live in a society that is so Me'uriv Bein HaGoyim, it has that hashpah. For better or for worse, Klal Yisrael's Golos today is in place or in places that are really, really Tidol Melech Goyim, like Rashi could have described here. He says, it's a Mokom Niskapza Shom Mikama Goyim or Mikoymos Im Lichish Aleim. If any country fits that description, our country fits Mokum that Niskapsa Shamikama Goyim Mekomos. I remember once I was standing in Port Authority, and just I had been there as well for a long time, so that's why it's that's why I was standing in Port Authority. But that's why it struck me, which I was saying to myself, I've never seen so many different umos and such a bubble of languages and culture as passing through. There's an incredible amount of concentration of different umays. And that means that it's a matter where Klal Yisrael is holding on to where they are is also mashpia on everyone else. on the one hand, it's a very tough fight, because when you perceive that you're not just different than the local Polish peasant, but you're different than civilized cultural society worldwide, it's very difficult. Mitzacheni, when you stand straight and strong, and you are who you are, then you must be on everybody. The Baruch Hashem, at present, Baruch Hashem, it's through Darchei Noam, it's not through Tzaras, but even, you know, and the truth is, even if you go back through the last century, the issue is that I've got, I mean, Klal Yisrael's Kemat perishing in the Holocaust and being saved, being able to establish a Yeshua of an Eretz Yisrael, those were events that shocked the world. They were at a point, they were in the center of the storm of Goyim, you know, of Umos. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't a little something tucked away in a tiny place somewhere, you know, in a Tasmania of sorts. It was something that was a Metzias that somehow, you know, every one of 180 Umos think that it's their business. That's one aspect of it. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the Yeshua, it sends a tremendous message. Hopefully this is the end of the Golias, and the fact that we're holding by Tidel Melech Goyim, the matzav today is where the things were involved and seem to be very global in their scope, is on the one hand, it's very challenging, it's difficult. On the other hand, it also is a tremendous opportunity. We understand that there's a special Gilev HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Zochar Chasdei Venos Beis Yisrael Ruach Kolach Se'ar Zei Yisrael Zeinu. If we're Zeichet to the Chesed and Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it becomes a first in the Absalom as well. Okay. Thank you.